just about every successful online retailer will tell you that the fastest way to grow brand loyalty is by giving its customers a sense of feeling like they're being a part of something bigger. In this case, social impact. Nakora, a footwear company for the socially driven female consumer, is just such a company. Joining me to talk more about the value behind social impact or creating social impact is its founder, Reyes Flores. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, you know, I kind of wanted to start with the intro with this because we've noticed, you know, actually we just had a couple companies on here talking about how they were defeating sort of the, you know, the ground retailer, the brick and mortar. And I feel like one of the reasons that some brick and mortars still hang around for a long time successfully is that people feel, you know, mom and pop kind of connection.
Sure.
Or people feel like that that's part of the community or fabric of the community. And the fear that has existed for retailers other than Amazon, if you're a retailer like Amazon or eBay or something like that, well, not that eBay is a retailer, but they create such convenience that it like supersedes everything else.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
But the average online retailer, I think the one place where they have sort of struggled is in that people don't feel a connection to them. It's like, I like the brand or whatever, but if there was some way to get that brand at a relatively similar cost and still give back and still sort of be part of the community, that would be optimal situation for a customer. So what has seemed to be kind of a theme right now, in the last few years, I should say, not right now, is using social impact and making sure that when you create your product or you create the service or you purchase from us, that some of your proceeds are going back to, you know, rebuild homes in Nicaragua, like
sure.
like where Ellison, a Chicago-based glasses company, has been on here before, or that you give back to, you know, just literally strictly donation, or you can round up to give to, and you know, animal cruelty or whatever it is. And your company seems to be growing quickly. You're a US based company. You're in Los Angeles and in Chicago, and you have found great success with social impact. So I wanted to bring you in and talk about your company first, but also why you took the approach you did and how you're seeing this work out for you.
Yeah, those are all great questions. I think, you know, kind of touching on the social impact piece, I think one of the things to, you know, understand about us and our approach is we've built that into the very fiber and kind of fabric of our company. You know, so we don't take a philanthropical kind of approach to giving back. Rather, we've explicitly designed our supply chain to kind of support all the players along the way. So everything is produced thread to finish in the U.S. We have a number of kind of vendors that are in New England, in the textile belt down in South Carolina. Some of these mills are century years old. You know, they're benefiting, obviously, as we buy product from them and turn it into these beautiful shoes. We have our factory based in Los Angeles, where there's a number of artisans who are multi-generational shoemakers, who have incredible stories about, you know, building and living enriched lives through the practice of their craft. So we take that social impact approach in kind of the way that we have built the company from the ground up.
Well, it's evident. I mean, one thing for if you haven't gone to the to your website, the shoes are amazing. I wish I
thank you.
They were available in men's versions.
Sure.
Is that something that's going to be around the?
You know, it is. We do have one boot that's a men's style. You know, we've chosen to kind of exclusively focus most of our time and resources on females. But you know, we get a number of emails for men who are wanting to have stuff that kind of meets their ethos and meets that social criteria that they're looking to consume based on. So it's something in the future, just not kind of in the immediate.
Sure. How did you get into this whole thing? I mean, it's not like every person wakes up and is like, I think I'm going to make some boots.
Sure. Good question. So I kind of took a traditional path early on in my career, finance, you know, did the Goldman Sachs thing, worked with Credit Suisse here in Chicago, and, you know, ultimately decided, hey, you know, this is great. I've built a lot of kind of core skills from this, but I wanted to do something, you know, that as cliche as it might sound, that really gives back and kind of has impact on community and people. And as I looked around at a number of different areas, you know, I had kind of through a number of documentaries like True Cost or things like Cowspiracy, kind of noticed kind of the impact that things like intensive livestock farming were having on our world. The way that kind of conspicuous consumption was impacting the environment. And there's this massive problem in all kind of areas of, you know, retail or excuse me, fashion, from garments to footwear. And so I said, you know what, I want to try to put a dent in that problem, and teamed up with my partner who had spent about 18 months kind of diligencing and building the first kind of prototypes of the shoes. And from there, it's kind of been off to the races.
So one question I've got for you based on this stuff is, you know, you have the ability to create really, really, I'm on your website right now,
sure.
really, really incredible looking boots and shoes. But you do it all here in the U.S. And if you ask just about everybody else who's selling, granted, you cut a little margin by being an online retailer. But
yep.
the average person tells you that's impossible. And it, like I'm looking at $229 for a pair of shoes that look like, you know, $500 shoes to me.
Sure.
How do you do that? How have yeah. you managed to utilize, and especially when you think about it, now that I think about it, when you mention the fact that you've got some of these mills and stuff that have been going on for literally like a century, that they're old fashioned and they're probably not the highest tech and they're probably not, you know, all
for
the
sure.
things that we use to cut costs.
Sure.
How do you do this sustainably?
So it's a good question. So I think there's a number of things to think about. You know, first is, you know, we do have that higher price point, which kind of helps kind of combat some of the margin problem. And it really comes down.
But it's not overly. I mean,
no, but
your margins,
right.
your prices are not. I mean, I don't shop for women's clothing
sure.
quite frequently, but,
right.
You know, it's. They're not ridiculous.
Right, right. So, I, you know, what first is we're an American, you know, produced company. And so we don't have to kind of have the inventory, you know, load that would be required
sure.
from, you know, ordering from, you know, Portugal or Spain.
Predicting
or
all the shipping
China,
and everything
exactly.
else.
And, you know, so we can run a very lean inventory model. You know, we can turn stuff very quickly.
What's turnaround like a regular boot? If we ordered a boot, what would it?
So typically we ship 2 to 3 days. So we do hold inventory. And
well, no, I mean like to actually make
Oh, sure. We can, you know, our orders are turn around in 7 to 10 days.
That's crazy.
Which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah,
right?
That's
I mean,
crazy.
So when you think about, you know, most fashion companies are ordering 6 months ahead.
Yeah.
And they're trying to guess in terms of, you know, what is
Well, it's
going
it kills
to be,
most of these companies.
Right,
it's a guessing
right.
game.
Exactly. And then they're stuck with lots of inventory as we can hold, you know, minimal amounts and be very reactive.
I bet you figured out some of that math on Goldman Sachs.
I did, and the University of Chicago.
Another booth person.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is,
right.
I swear to God. So, like, we have Northwestern all the time. That was a booth person sitting here before.
Sure.
Everyone's, we got to talk
all over the place.
They're
yeah.
everywhere.
All over the place.
Got to get rid of them. Run them out of Chicago, I'm
right.
saying. No, don't. They help with a lot of our business. But, yeah, I think you're doing incredible stuff with this. What was sort of your, I mean, obviously you've got, the social impact piece that you have now, which is helping and making sure that it's US based and that you're working with these textile mills and things that have been around forever. What is the sort of branding behind this and how did you decide on, you know, I guess that's the wrong way to put it. How do I want to phrase this? Picking out, so when you say you want a female shopper consumer who is socially conscious, how do you brand that and put that into a profile and target and find and then deliver the message to that person?
Sure.
It's so niche and like, I mean, it's niche who buys this exact product, mm-hmm. but it's like, it could be anybody, right?
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, I think it's niche in terms of, you know, the way it's traditionally thought about, but if you kind of reframe it and think about, you know, I think most of us are trying to make decisions in our lives that have some type of positive impact and to incorporate that without too much pain.
Sure.
You know, we kind of think about it as conveniently conscious.
Yes.
And so if we can find a way to bring people, you know, high design, high fashion, durability and quality, all those things that they're used to, without the sacrifice, they're first going to be attracted to our design and the fact that these are American-made shoes that have, you know, Goodyear welt stitching and all of those traditional kind of techniques. And then there's going to be this backstory that says, wow, okay, there's this, you know, amazing factory that's supporting families in a community. There's a light environmental footprint because the materials are going to be used. Then they really gravitate and hold on to, you know, who we are. And, you know, 1 in 3 of our customers come back and purchase. And so once they've, you know, come and they've participated and consumed, they're like, wow, this is really great. And they want to come back for more. But I think, you know, it's important to lead with, you know, the fact that you don't have to sacrifice anything to have the stuff that you want.
I am going to try to hat. This is like the most millennial thing of all time.
Sure.
Conveniently conscious.
Yeah, right.
That is like
right.
the next hashtag like trend of all time.
Sure.
We're conveniently conscious. I mean, we're not really conscious all the time, but when it's convenient
right.
for us.
And we can take away the pain points. And I always kind of use a funny analogy of, you know, you have the, you know, that guy's driving his Range Rover over to Whole Foods and he pays $12 for his cage-free eggs.
Yeah.
You know, but he's driving his Range Rover. And so he's, you know, hey, or she is trying to say,
I want to bling a little bit,
right,
but I also care.
where can I make an impact without it being kind of too painful? And that's, you know, that's honestly, that's what we view our job as, is solving that problem for people, because we believe that people care when they know. And now let's kind of take away any sacrifice that they have to make.
I think you're onto something with it. I think that's also true. It's care. I think people know, but they care when you can put it in a way for them to not be terribly inconvenient. It's you. Right. You hit it. You hit it on the head. Conveniently
right.
conscious.
Right. Right. And it's we all really do true. That. It's not. You know. It's not a slight on anybody.
No.
I think
absolutely
that's just
not.
Us as.
I think
humans,
it's
the
evolution of where our generations have sort of come from. Our parents and parents of parents had to did not have convenience. There
right.
was no convenience. It just right. had to do what you had to do. And then it became like, oh, you can make little choices. And then it was like, oh, we plan for our children.
Right.
And now we're talking about like. You know, I got a Range Rover, it cost me 100 G's, but
right.
I also, you know, I care, I give a shit about the chickens.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly. No, that's exactly right.
It's so, man, you're totally on it. So one last question I've got for you, and this is, are you a designer? Like, where did the...
Good question.
Yeah
so my
question.
Partner, Stephanie, does all the design. She's a fantastic designer, actually a third-generation shoemaker herself. All her family were part of the shoe towns in old New England before everything kind of left the country pre-World War II. And, you know, she's speaks at a number of, you know, high design schools like FITM and Parsons yep. Regularly on sustainable fashion and U.S. sourcing. So despite, you know, her not having that official background, she's still a thought leader in the area right now.
Pretty cool. So do you guys have anything coming up, any promos and things like that? Where do people go to sort of... get involved with you guys.
Sure, yeah. So
NakoraShoes.com.
We just launched the pre-sale of our Sinclair boot, which is kind of our flagship. It's an old New England riding boot design. This thing will last a lifetime. Everything, again, you know, we've got the stitched-on sole and the Goodyear welting, and everything's repairable, recraftable. So, I mean, these are the last boots you'll need to buy for a really, really, really long time.
Well, if you are conveniently, you know, conscious about stuff, you're going to go to NakoraShoes.com
sure.
and pick these up, because they're... And, I'm telling you, looking at these are beautiful, beautiful shoes.
Thank you.
They
Thank
really
you
are.
Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely.
And where else do people go to follow? Do you guys have things on like Instagram
yeah,
and stuff
so we,
like
Nakora
that?
Shoes at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Pinterest,
we run
sure.
a number. Yeah, Pinterest. Certainly sign up for our email promos. We do a lot of kind of flash deals and things for folks there. And, you know, we're very engaged with our community.
Very cool. Reyes, thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
As mentioned before, Technori is on this coming Tuesday, August 30th, 6 p.m. at Chase Auditorium. It's the Wearable Works theme. Lots of really cool companies are going to be on stage, including Rythmio. If you haven't gotten tickets, make sure you go to technori.com/tickets and get yourself a couple of tickets for the event. Use the promo code WGN and save yourself 20%. You can stream this episode and more on WGNbusiness.com or download each episode on iTunes and stay up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter @Technori or follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.